It's getting darker when the sun is gone, and it's tough on the streets. You can still feel the heat. Baywatch Wild Nights. Baywatch Wild.
Hello and welcome back to Baywatch Watch Nights. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. We've got a great guest with us closing out 2023. We have a new guest to the podcast.
Yes.
We have Simonton. Welcome.
Hello, Simonton.
Now, Simonton, I've never asked you this before. Do you just go by Simonton?
Yes, I do. It's technically it is my name, but it's just I go by. And the funny part is, someone asked me that one time. I say, "Do you go by Jess Simonton?" I say, "Yes, Jess Simonton." And then they introduced me on stage as Jess Simonton coming to the stage. I'm like, "All right, clever." I don't know if they did that on purpose. I never corrected them, but
right.
Think I should, because I think they're going to ask me to do something for them or a show for them, and I don't want them to keep put out a flyer that says "and just Simonton."
Like, right.
Do you think that was like their joke, like their humor, or they are genuinely they thought that's your
yeah?
Your
do you
full
think
name?
They genuinely think that's your name?
I don't know. They're like off. You know, you notice how sometimes you meet people.
Yeah, sure.
Like a little off. I'm off, but like they're off with like certain social cues.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe they actually really thought that was your first name. But we're not going to call you just Simonton. Aww. We are going to only call you Simonton. Yes.
Thank you. Like Cher or Zendaya.
There you go.
Yes.
Or Mandala.
Or Teague. Because Charlie, have you noticed Teague, the character Teague on Baywatch Nights? No one ever calls him by his first name, Diamant.
Diamond.
Have we ever heard that? Maybe once
in the first episode. Yeah. And then since then, no. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, before we jump into this episode, Zach, we've got another package of trading cards to open. So for Zach's birthday, Simonton, I got Zach 4 packs of vintage 1990s Baywatch trading cards. And he is going to open pack 2 live on air.
Here we go.
No way. I'm honored. Thank you.
I will say pack 1 was a little underwhelming. So
a little bit. It was fun though too.
Temporary.
It had its moments.
It had its moments.
Okay, Charlie. I think you're going to be excited about this first one. These cards stick. Let me hold on 1 second. It's our man himself, Mitch Buchanan.
Okay. Yeah. That's got to be like the Michael Jordan card.
Michael Jordan rookie card. Is this the Mitch Buchanan rookie card right here? Shirt off. Sun is on a, just blazing down on him. It's just like a classic pose, I guess, for Mitch, if you will. That's pretty good.
Cool.
Okay. Card 2. Get the fuck out of here. Do you remember the worst card from the first pack?
Was it just like the one of the helicopter or the...
Yeah, I just got the helicopter
one again.
The one with Stephanie and the helicopter pilot. It's a confusing picture. Wow. That's okay. Of all the cards to get a second one of already... It's probably going to be in every pack, I bet. Whoa, what? I got another checklist, it looks like.
Maybe the checklist come in every pack.
Yeah, maybe that's like standard. Is there another card here? Yeah, that's okay. And then I got the mat on the Wave Runner again.
There aren't that many cards, are there?
Oh my God. Charlie, I got this one again. The camera crew behind the scenes. This is insane. Wow. Oh, hold on.
Did you get the Summer Quinn again?
Oh no, is this the one I got of Summer from before? I think so. So, okay, this is insane. I basically got the same exact cards I got in the first pack, minus the best one from the first pack. And then I got a Mitch Buchanan card, which is very cool.
Wow.
That is wild. There's got to be more variety in the next pack, wouldn't you think?
I'd hope so.
This is the same right here, Simonton. This is the same cards as the first pack, but had this one, which is a pretty cool picture. Summer and Matt. Oh, well.
Ooh.
We're going to get more variety in the next pack, I bet you.
Well, we'll see. Nope.
You know what, Charlie, though? I can give you my doubles if you like.
Sure, yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, cool.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I get I get basically all the same cards as you except one.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Thank you for that. So we still have two more packs to go. We'll do on the next couple episodes.
Yeah. So Simonton, tell us your history with Baywatch. Have you ever watched Baywatch or Baywatch Nights before?
I have watched Baywatch. I think I remember as a kid, I saw them on reruns. I think they came on like Fox Channel or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Channel 9, maybe? I don't know. I forget.
Something like that. I don't remember seeing a whole episode. All I remember is seeing the opening theme song to Baywatch, which is them running in the beach, and that was it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, let's jump into season 2, episode 5, Circle of Fear. What the fuck was going on in this episode?
What?
I mean, generally, I understand that it was Necronomicon, a grimoire, but then you had a witches, you had a witch thing going on. Mm-hmm. But the thing that was very confusing to me was the curse itself, because at first it seemed like the curse was that like all these men were coming at Ryan, but then it turns out that independently, those men were just perverts.
That's what that was. Absolutely. Yes. That like was the, just like happened
the plumber,
to be
what the plumber was up with the plumber.
The plumber is just a rapist. He wanted to rape her.
That was the creepiest part too of the whole thing. It's like
him walking in on her in bed
and then like keep getting closer to her and being like,
kept
I'm
getting
here
closer to her. Yeah. And then when he came back and he heard the growling and stuff, then he finds her bra and that out. Makes him really mad.
Yeah.
Which he's so really mad about her bra, and he's like, "You want to mess with Stacky or Starkey or whatever his name is?"
Yeah, Starkey, I think it was. Yeah, it was wild. Yeah, she just happened to have two really creepy, shitty guys. One way more than the other one around her, and then that they were like got connected to the whole demon thing that she had going on with her.
What if part of the curse was like you get more men are more attracted to you? They act more animalistic.
You know, that could be, but the one thing was, remember she said Jed, the guy that works at the restaurant, she's like, he does this
every
time. He hits
on me every day, which actually confused everything, because then if it had just been like Jed, I thought she was going to be like, Jed's never acted like this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
And then also like the delay in terms of it, because like when she says get fried, he gets fried immediately. But when she tells the plumber that he should die, it takes a long time.
It does take a while. Yeah, I don't know why. Also, how good is that restaurant, I guess, that she's like, he hits on me every time.
And I still
but
come
I'm
going
to keep on coming back. It's really good food. So good.
Yeah. It's also like you also had like the neighbor who's very nonchalant.
Oh, my God.
About blood coming down the walls. Like she's like,
she's annoying.
She's like, you know, when you get a chance.
Yeah, she is absolutely that neighbor that any one of us may have had that you're like, oh, my God. Every time she wants to talk to you, you're like, please stop. Leave me alone. Leave me to my own life. She's like her putting her business into your business constantly.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? I thought that was when I was watching. I said, this must be like sewage, right? This is like, oh, this is just a bad poop, because a normal person would have been like, yeah, I'm moving out tomorrow if there's blood coming from the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. So it's a full moon.
Yeah.
We've got a witch in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Candles are lit. She's got a big old knife.
Yeah.
She dips it in some stuff. And then she says, here do I bring light and air in at the beach. Illuminate our temple, bring in the night.
Funny. I missed the beach line, the word beach.
Yeah.
So you think that was a tie into Baywatch? They were like, we got to put the beach in there somewhere.
Yeah, we got to put the beach in. Because
she's in the woods. She's in the woods.
And then things start getting a little crazy. We start getting double vision. She's calling for the dread lords of the watchtowers of the east.
Not them.
Yeah.
What was she doing the spell for? I wasn't very... Maybe I missed it.
Was
she trying to get money?
I don't think they ever tell us.
They never tell us.
Yeah, but it's a good point. What is your goal?
And because Ryan only gets the curse because she conjured it from the book, the grimoire, but she doesn't have any reason for doing so other than curiosity.
I guess, yeah. And this it's a weird thing to be curious about, though, right? You're like, if you're right, you summon demons. If you're wrong, you just, nothing happened.
Oh my God, that whole thing where they like were like, well, it's really going to be boring if she does this all herself silently. So the whole time she's like, well, okay, Ryan, let's go ahead and do this spell. Well, this is going to be, oh, you got to get the candles. And I like this one. And I like this one. And I like this one. But yes, we have no idea why this woman actually was doing a conjuring.
Yeah. You know what, though? She brings up a good point. Never summon demons alone.
Right.
That's just for everyone out there. Don't do it alone.
Buddy.
You need a buddy, a demon summoning buddy, just in case.
Because the thing is like, and the idea was, because what she is calling is the right hand of the devil, right? So like what we learned, so what purpose? Because basically what they say is, if your circle is unbroken, you're fine. Mm-hmm. But if your circle is broken, then you're dead, which is what ends up happening to her. But what are the positive benefits of the demon coming?
I don't know. Yeah, I wish we knew. What do you got? You got a theory?
I have a couple theories. Could you? Please. I thought about this because I watch a lot of witchy stuff, like Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So, you know, most witches get their power from the devil, and that's where they get their power from. So think about this. In order to protect themselves from someone they're trying to get the power from or summoning, they need to be in a circle. And if it's broken, the person or creature will get them. Now, the reason you want to do a circle is three reasons. Money. Okay. You have questions to ask. Or are you going to bring back someone from the dead? I don't know. Maybe you want a cheeseburger. You don't.
I see.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like a, it's almost like a genie's lamp with wishes, but it's a little risky. A little more risky, I would say.
Yeah.
So,
or like, a monkey's paw, if you will.
Okay, yeah. Something that you could wish for. Yeah.
Do you know anything about Solomon the Great? I don't know, to go on a random tangent. Solomon.
I don't think I do, Charlie. Wise.
He was like a Bible person. I don't know that much about him either. I shouldn't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
One thing I do know is he like summoned demons and forced them to do crazy things for him.
Okay. Crazy things for him.
Wow. Yeah.
You're gonna take me out to dinner every night. I don't care how tired you are. You're taking me out. I'm Solomon and I summoned you.
Well, at the end of this summoning, she is torn apart by the by the demons.
Brutally.
Yeah, brutally.
She's like that thing, that horrible thing they used to do, like quartering with like horses or whatever. That's how her she's like drawn, arms and legs are spread apart. It's like, geez. And there's also like a Freddy Krueger claw across her chest.
Yeah, she gets a Freddy Krueger claw across her chest, and then her arm gets torn up. And then we get this a stylistic cut to the beach of a woman screaming and her boyfriend hugging, which I've never seen Baywatch do before.
It was fun. He's just like tickling her or something like that, just or surprising her or something. Yeah. I don't know. And then a weird shot, because then Teague just walks as if they're not
from
there.
From the water. Directly.
The water in a suit directly into them. They bump into each other to go talk to Mitch.
Yeah. And Teague has another mission for Mitch. So Teague, Simonton, is, you probably could tell in every episode, he's where these cases come from. He's the one who comes to them and says,
I heard this supernatural thing happened. Can you check it out for me?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And he's done this for a long time, to the point where, like, he's never bringing good news. It's like, hey, I have a werewolf problem.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know what's funny? We haven't had a werewolf problem yet, but I bet that's one of the episodes. Just most likely, right? He's going to say. I feel like we're getting, because they really have changed up, like, what the monster or supernatural thing is week to week so far.
Yeah. So he says, we asked Mitch what Mitch knows about witchcraft. Which the answer should always be nothing, because Mitch knows nothing about any of this stuff. You know, like, why would he know anything about this? And witchcraft, incantations, and things that go bump in the night.
Mitch should have been like, I know a lot about things that go bump in the night, especially when I'm by my fireplace.
Bumping.
So Mitch likes to have sex next to his fireplace, just so you know.
I haven't seen the episodes with Mitch.
Well, he doesn't really have a lot of. He doesn't have much sex in Baywatch Nights. It's mostly a Baywatch thing.
Really?
It's, yeah, more on Baywatch. Yeah.
Well, does he? Does he show his chest? I'm not saying I want to see his chest. I'm just saying.
Yes. You saw the trading card.
Yeah, he's a lifeguard, so he usually is at his lifeguard tower with his shirt off.
Maybe here's a pitch for if they ever bring it back. Maybe he should start solving crimes with the whole no chest thing. Maybe that's what.
These demons and whatnot will respect him more with his shirt off. Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, because what does he wear? He just wears like normal clothes in this, right?
Yeah.
Or a suit or something. Yeah.
It's not giving people what they want. Baywatch.
Exactly.
So then.
I was going to say, Mitch mentions, he goes, to that witchcraft. Yeah, I met Linda Blair once, and so did I.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun fact, right? Me and Mitch share that in common.
You met Linda Blair?
I did, yeah.
At like a horror really con? Nice. Or?
No, I met her at just some other random event, and ended up talking to her for a while. This was like when I was like in college, and she was really nice. I talked to her for a while.
Who is she?
She's really cool. She's
from The Exorcist.
The Exorcist. Yeah.
Oh, so that's a deep cut. So I guess The Exorcist doesn't exist in this world. Cool. It's good to know.
Yeah, it does exist in this world.
I mean, it does. I mean, like...
Yes. The events of The Exorcist do not exist in this world.
I would love
it. The movie The Exorcist does exist in this world. And the actress Linda Blair, yeah, for sure. Reagan, the little girl, does not exist.
Right. Yeah. But there are different elements of The Exorcist later in this episode.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yes. They definitely pulled some stuff from The Exorcist. Also, we learn, I guess, that Brian's parents are dead.
I don't remember. Do you remember, like, in season one, didn't she talk about she had her mom at least?
Mom, yeah.
How she was kind of controlling her and her sister. Yes. So when did they kill her mom? Weird.
And her dad.
It just feels like they're like, no, we want her to have dead parents for this episode.
We're never going to bring them on anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, nah.
So then Ryan and Mitch are looking for a woman who is the latest in a series of serial killings. Okay, so that means there's a lot of people have ended up with this book.
I guess, right? Or are they just connecting every unsolved murder together? Like, these police are so inept that they're just like, yeah, these are all the same person.
I mean, these police in this episode are among the most inept I've ever seen. Like, the fact that he's like, we've got fucking this guy who's like Columbo, basically, like, hey, Mitch, I don't know, the way she's looking over there, she looks a little guilty to me. That's a guilty person if I ever seen one.
Yeah.
And then we got I don't know why they didn't just have Murray.
It's confusing.
Be the cop the whole time because we've met one Murray cop before. But then we get a second detective who's like, Mitch, I don't know. And then like, because after the one, he's like, I think she did this. And then later when the guy dies in her apartment, he's like, I don't think she did this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Which makes no sense. You know, when that guy at the restaurant got burned by the fryer and there was tons of witnesses everywhere. But everyone saw, I think she did that. But you know, when she was alone in her apartment by herself and this guy got murdered?
The plumber died in her apartment. Nah, she didn't do that.
Priorities.
crazy. Mitch looks at a stump with blood. Ryan hears whispering. She hears like echoes of the chant, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And then finds the burnt book in the tree.
Yes.
Takes it to Mitch, and the inside is burned more than the outside. Like the fire started inside of it.
Yes, but they messed up because initially it all looked so burnt. Now, when they had the book later, it did kind of look like less burned on the outside. But this initial book, someone in the props department burned it too much.
It's charred, yeah.
It's so charred, yeah.
Do you think smart women, I think that one thing I got from this, seems like smart women are always depicted as witches.
That's interesting. I don't know if we've had that before on this this series at all. Charlie, do you remember?
I mean, this is our first witch.
I think this is, yeah.
Our first witch.
So no, that does not hold up then, Simon.
But not in this episode. But I can see, throughout history, yes. Especially Salem witch.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Absolutely. Smart women, they were your witches.
But you are right. There's, I believe, only two female characters, not counting the dead mom. And one does seem to be very smart, and the other one seems to be pretty dumb. And that one seems to be... Well, there's the person that... We don't know anything about the woman at the beginning, though, if she's smart or not.
This one had so much... Like, I felt like this was the first time that they've been like really pushing like Ryan in her underwear.
Yeah, same. Yeah,
it was a lot, and they don't do that with her. She normally is not
like ever. I don't think sexualized. Maybe in once show, in, but in this season it was one, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and then they it looked the weird thing where like when the plumber walks in, her underwear is on, and she's sleeping naked.
Yeah, right.
Which like I guess, but like it just feels like, and he walks in, and she just looks up, and she's like, "Hey, who are you?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm the plumber." And she's like,
"Yeah."
You probably shouldn't be in here. Like, wouldn't you normally be like, get the fuck out?
Yeah, get the fuck out.
What are you doing in my apartment?
Yeah.
So then we cut to Venice. Ryan is looking at the book and checking it out. And she starts having visions of candles, a knife, the woman. And there are weird, scary pictures in there. Those, like, you know, the pictures, the demon pictures you see in every, like, occult book.
Yeah.
And then she goes to this bookstore. And then somebody walks by really fast and knocks the book out of her arms. At first, I thought they stole it, but they just knocked it down. And then the door swings open to the bookstore.
Yeah.
And then when she's inside, though, that was so confounding about this bookstore, is you would think that she would walk in and it would be a bookstore that's completely and totally empty, like books and stuff, but no people. But there are customers everywhere.
It's alive, yeah. Everyone's, this is a happening bookstore.
It's a happening bookstore. And like the guy who comes up to help her, who ends up being, I something guess, Serenios himself.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, like the
Richard or something.
Yeah, the villain of the episode. But it's like, but when she's like, I would like a grimoire. And he's like, well, I have a bunch of new ones. And she's like, no, I need an old one. So I'm like, there are commercially produced copies of the grimoire that are available. And she's like, I'd like a vintage one, please.
Right. Because it's like, what's the difference? I don't think if this was a real thing, I don't think the demons would be like, oh, look at it. It's just a hacky looking paperback of a grimoire. We need something that was crafted. Beautiful,
why does he have a bunch of new ones?
I don't know.
Maybe copy and paste them. Yeah. But what if he just like slightly reword the words into like change them? It's like, all right.
Like the King James version of the grimoire.
Ah. Yeah. Sure. That is a good thought. My only problem with this whole scene was like how she found this bookstore. I thought she was going to like Google or do some research, but I forgot Google doesn't exist. But it was like, it was so, it seems so the most randomest thing ever. At least
she's just walking down the street, yeah. Which you would think, like, you could be like, it's kind of like the monkey paws thing, where you would just like stumble upon some like store and then you walk in and then they're
could
like,
be.
We have a lot of rare curiosities, but this one, you don't want this one, you know.
Well, okay, there's two things. One is she could have just looked it up in the Yellow Pages potentially and they just didn't show that.
Okay.
Or in that previous scene, when they were leaving the forest, we heard a demon say, like, I summon you, I summon you. So maybe she really is being, like, drawn, whether she even realizes it, to this store, in a sense.
Right. But and so was this store a legitimate bookstore, or was it a figment of her imagination?
Do you think this guy opened this bookstore, ran it for 25 years, successful bookstore, just to get to this point?
So you think this is the lie? This is kind of like her
it's the long con. It's the long con in a sense. It's not exactly a con, but it's like
vision.
You play it out over like years potentially just to get to this.
If she would have gone back to this location, that bookstore would not be there.
Oh, okay. You're saying this? Oh, you think it just?
I'm wondering. I'm asking. Is it what we said? Which is that
it's a legitimate bookstore?
Long con. So you think it's a legitimate bookstore, or because why was the door locked and then slides open?
That I don't know. That's a good point.
See? Okay. See, maybe I think it's maybe both. Maybe it was like the teleporting store.
It's like the mob runs legitimate businesses, right? So it's like you have your demon enterprise, but then you also got to pay the rent. So you're running like a good bookstore. So like they're getting in like the Janet Ivanovich thrillers and like that kind of stuff. I'm like, you know, they'll order anything you need, but they have a bunch of really nice new copies of the grimoire.
new grimoires. And then someone comes and is like,
can I get an old grimoire?
Can I get an old grimoire?
And he's like, you gotta go look in the basement. Yeah.
But that's how he gets his victims. I think he needs someone to be able to read it, but I think he just needs a smart girl to read the book.
So is this guy is the serial killer?
Okay, so I don't think there's a serial killer per se, because they don't tell us more about that. We just one death from a demon.
He's the one. He has at least the conduit by which all these women died.
And I think it's just a demon. And it's not necessarily him. Now, the question is, which they kind of hint that, I guess maybe he was already possessed in a sense or whatever. But it seems like it could have been just that he was there. I guess Mitch says something at the end, because it was a question mark. I was like, was he just get possessed by a demon once they were summoning it? But it's like he wasn't at the woods, though. So what does he have to do with that one? And nothing, right?
And then all Mitch had to do was electrocute him, and that took care of him.
Yeah. So he was human. Maybe
he could shoot him, and he would have died.
Yeah.
Maybe he knew about the powers of the books and want the power of the book. And he's been like, since he's a man, he can't read it.
And yeah. I guess the power of is to speak things into existence, I guess. But it's like, it seems to specifically be about hurting people.
I think it hurts men and protects women, because I think the book itself was just like protecting her over him. Oh, like protecting women, if you think, or giving them the power to like kill.
It's a feminist book. Feminist.
I think Simpson's right in a way. Yeah. Because honestly, I don't know about you guys, but when the demon killed the plumber guy, I was like, this demon, I'm on his side.
Yeah.
It was a good demon.
Right. But the demon also, if you break your circle, then the demon kills you. So like, he's like, it's,
I know,
what's up with the circle thing? Because like, if he's really about protecting women, he would be like, circle or not, I got your back. Right. But
okay. So the guy mentions that she didn't die because the apartment is like a better foundation. It's a better structure for a circle. Do you think the demon would have to like summon a demolition crew? Be like, we got to tear this apartment down, then we can bust open the circle.
Yeah. Hey, look, the demon becomes a slumlord and just like doesn't take care of the apartment.
Yes. I love it.
Oh,
it's a little confusing.
The rules are, they're all over the place, because also like the way that she says these things, which is she says, jerks like that should die.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he later does. But then get fried is enough.
They're to just be right like, then.
Because like if she had said get fried and this guy did not work as a fry cook.
Yeah.
How would he get fried?
Oh, that's easy. Right.
Wow.
He'd have to find his way to some oil, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that could have happened a lot later. So like maybe like a year later, he happens to be by some burning oil. And finally, the demon's like, you're close enough, and burns him. And then he doesn't connect the two. But it's still Ryan who said it. But the fact that this guy was there and immediately, I guess,
it's fried.
Sticks his hand in the fryer?
It's unclear. It looked like it attacked his nuts or something like that. Yeah. He's kind of like, oh, like he gets shot in the nuts.
It fried his nuts. Oh my God.
And he's bending over. Yeah, it's a little weird. It's hard to tell exactly what was going on there. Because it would have made more sense if he just went over and then he's like,
Because later she says, like, I said I wish you would fall in the fryer. And he did. And I was like, no, you said get fried.
Get fried.
I think it could have happened sooner. Like maybe he's walking down the street and someone throws like a pat of oil out their window. Because
this is like London in the 1800s or whatever.
Yeah. Dumping. Time to dump me oil.
Time to dump me oil.
By the way, guys, I had a thought when she said that, the get fried and that happened. I was like, I'm glad she didn't say, Jed, get fucked.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
And then he jerks off.
Then but I think he would actually, it would be more like he has to figure out a way to get his penis over to his butthole. And then it just would like, you don't even know what'll happen then. But he's gonna, you know those things like when it's like a curse and it's like they're gonna not stop until like it's like bang your head against the wall, they'll just keep continually banging.
What if she had said
over,
like, eat me, and then he like literally eats her.
In a good way or a bad way?
No, in a bad, like in a cannibal way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the other, otherwise, it's like you'd have to kind of, you know, if it was like, you know, you'd have to, there's only a few different, they were like, they probably sat around and thought about like,
how can we connect this? Get fried. Yeah.
Get fried, which is what you say to a pervert who's sexually harassing you day in, day out.
Of course.
It's the meanest thing that you can say is get fried.
Shove a burger up your ass.
Yes.
Go play in traffic. That could have been easier.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Go
play in traffic. Yes.
I think that would have been nicer. Like he's going around kicking rocks for all eternity.
Yes.
Yep.
So Ryan goes down to the basement and she finds an old grimoire. And then she takes it home and for some leisurely reading, and says it reads like a cookbook. And
demon cookbook.
Yeah, I have to find the okay.
So
this was a picture that I took because I don't know if anyone happened to take a look at the words that are on the pages of the grimoire.
I did like the pictures though. I thought they did a good job with making it look like it. Right? It was like this looks like a grimoire as far as I know.
I couldn't pronounce whatever word she was saying anyway.
Yeah, it was cool. Very good job on their part.
So the words that repeat over and over in here are a couple of sentences that say, Kenneth, the person I have written about in my character tribute, has become quite close to me as of late, which is quite unusual for my personality. We had seen each other at the beginning of this year and had crushes on each other, and I found out that he had a crush on me more than I have a crush on him. We had quite a dilemma before our she doesn't show the full page. And then it's like, Kenneth is gentle and kind, understanding and open. He knows my feelings and he understands them. He knows how to say nice things to a girl, and he's considerate of my feelings. And that is why I chose him. And then it starts, Kenneth, the person that I have written about in my character tribute. So it's like those three sentences on every page.
Whoa. With
like the demon pictures and stuff. So like whatever dummy text they put in there. I'm like trying to figure out where that would even come from.
I don't know. It seems so lazy too. It's like you could have just written anything. Or an alternate theory is that this is like
put it in Latin, like the ipso dolor, or how they do in the typesetting. I was like, that's perfect. This would be Latin, right?
Right. Yeah. What I'm thinking is like those books that have like bilingual, basically they'll have one language and then the other language. So maybe the Latin's on one side, and then this is the English translation of the Latin. Is this? Phrase, I
guess. About Kenneth, Kenneth.
That's what summons the demons.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a question for you guys. Not that you have an answer for it necessarily, but why is it that so often in these sorts of like movies, TV shows and stuff, summoning a demon or a demon speaking is in Latin? What is it about Latin?
It's dead language. It's ancient. Yeah. And I guess that's true. The language, the official language of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. So, and like most demon iconography comes from with the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, we're looking at it from like a Western point. Yeah. There's demons and like there's Japanese lore demons.
Of course,
Chinese,
yeah.
And lore. And then my favorite.
Your favorite, huh?
Yeah, I want to hear what the name was.
You want to hear my favorite?
I do.
It's probably it might be like southern, like let's keep with Japanese. There's a lot more.
Okay.
Sure,
Japanese demons are called Oni.
Yeah.
Oni.
But in this particular case, yes, when you're talking about these type of Beelzebub type demons, were coming from the Catholic.
By the way, when Malcolm the book owner was like, yeah, the guy on the cover, or the demon on the cover, is Serenios, second in command to the devil himself. I kind of laughed because I was like,
Why wouldn't they put the devil?
I was like, yeah, they're like, we can't get the devil. He's busy. Let's go with Serenios. That's what it felt like. They're like,
because the thing is also like, if he's second in command to the devil, then he's not as scary as the devil.
The
devil's number one. So it's like, but they make it seem like he's somehow worse.
I mean, budget, that's why.
Right? He was too expensive.
You think the devil's bad, wait till you meet the guy who works for him.
Yeah. Actually, that actually makes some sense. If you had to work, if you were second in command of the devil, you'd just be constantly being like, God, I hate my job.
I guess the devil has some responsibilities and is probably like, okay, Serenios, like, you know,
I need you to do this for me today. And then like, when you're done with that, do this.
We need a little diplomacy here. So like maybe stop with the sadism for a few minutes. And it's like, no, I'm Serenios.
Could you imagine the being like, good cop, bad cop, and the devil's the good cop?
And Serenios is bad cop.
And Serenios is bad cop.
Oh, I'm sorry, my hands are tied. Say, aren't you the boss? Say, I'm sorry, you told me I
wish I could help you, but Serenios over here is a real ball buster. So then Marty pulls up to Mitch and asks him about Teague and was like, what's the nature of your work for him? And Mitch tells him it's confidential, which I don't sure. think it is.
Yeah, and this is now five episodes of us getting like little teases of what Teague might be, but yeah. no real answer, I guess. Oh, yeah, I assume this will pay off at some point.
Marty says that in the Atlanta serial murders, it was a reporter covering the case who did it. And in LA, they had a guy always hanging around the station house.
But it's funny, they don't finish that thought. Oh, okay, just hung around the station.
And did he there's do something? Been quite a few LA serial killers, so yeah.
Makes yeah.
sense. Night Stalker, Hillside Strangler.
All of them reporters, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But
yeah, these are shitty detectives without a doubt. They don't he's just like, huh? Hey, I heard about this thing like, in Atlanta, so maybe this guy is also killing people.
Mitch, I understand your work is confidential, but if you think this guy did it, can you tell me? And Mitch is like, yeah, no. I will break
it. Oh, if I do that, but at first he's like, no. Okay, yeah. Sure, I'll let you know.
So Ryan does the witchcraft recipe. She starts to get spooked and she hears growling and then blows out the candles and is immediately like, time for a bath.
Yeah. And it was like she was in her, I'm not saying I want to see her naked, but I'm saying like she was in her underwear. So it was like, what was the point of even doing that scene at all? It's like, seems like a.
Yeah.
The scene
doesn't make any sense because she runs the bath and then mm-hmm. she hears a noise and puts on her shorts and yeah. then walks around the apartment with a bat. And then right. once she realizes that it's not like nothing bad. Is happening.
But she doesn't find anything, so she's like, I'm just gonna go to anything. Bed.
She just skip goes the shower, to bed. So we didn't need her in her underwear at all. They could have just had her be in yeah. whatever like night shirt or whatever.
I honestly thought my first thought when they started that scene, it's like you suddenly see her in her underwear and then like turn on the shower or the bath or whatever. She starts the water in there. I thought we were gonna get like a psycho-esque
yes.
sort of thing where she gets in the shower and then all of a sudden there's a demon or something on the other side. But it's none of that, obviously. I was like, oh, it has nothing. Happens. It was yeah. for no reason, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but when she goes to go to bed, we see that the candles are lit again. So the candles
by
are
themselves.
Relit themselves.
Relit. Yeah. Good candle work in this episode, I must say.
Great candle work.
All the budget candles.
Yeah. Exactly.
A very foggy episode, too. I liked that. That as they're driving around LA, we got a lot of great shots of
yeah
manufactured fog, like they made it very foggy in order to give it a real spooky atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So then a door opens to Ryan's apartment in a POV shot.
I did like this sequence because it's unclear what's going on. It is like, is this Ryan? Is this a demon? What is this?
Yeah
and it is very Evil Dead.
But then Ryan is in bed again, wrapped up in a sheet like a seductress in a film would be, you know, like, or a woman who just woke up after a night with a lover, like, are you leaving so right. soon? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead she's like, hey what are you doing in here? Like, she's yes. so chill.
To the plumber. By the way, this guy's name is, or the character's name is Del Starkey, but the actor is Blake Gibbons.
Yeah.
This is the guy that played Stephanie's boyfriend, Riley, in like a bunch of episodes
That's
of
right.
Baywatch.
Wow.
And fun fact, he was in an episode of Seinfeld, which is wild to me because I feel like we've said this so many times.
Yes, many of our people are in Seinfeld episodes.
It seems like a lot of people are on Baywatch or Baywatch Nights, and then it seems like Seinfeld is like, that's some good talent. Let's use him in an episode.
Yeah.
And then they appear on one episode of Seinfeld.
So much Seinfeld, and I'm like surprised. I didn't recognize him at all.
He's in the episode The Summer of George, and then I think he plays... I think it's like Jerry's date. I'm pretty sure it's this guy. Jerry's dating a woman.
Oh, yeah.
And then
Jerry's dating a woman who has a live-in roommate,
guy that is questionable. Are they lovers? And it's this guy.
That's that guy?
That's that guy, yeah.
Wow.
Where he's like in a towel all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
a pretty good actor. I think he plays this horrible creep pretty well, actually.
But he's like, why is he so menacing?
I mean, that's what they want for the character, I think. But yes, why? Like, I think he's just generally a creep. like he probably has done things like this before. He's a plumber that's or a handyman. Yeah,
but
plumber.
At the end of the day,
that's like I'm just gonna bust into someone's
just door. A plumber because he does attempt to fix the leak.
This is true. This is true. But and they could have made this clear, but my guess is this is a guy that's a plumber and then he's also a creep, and then he just I don't think he ever knocked on the door. And he probably does this a lot and just goes in. Then if he like sees a woman, he tries to like come on to her. Probably
the second time he does knock though and goes like, I'm sorry. It's so unclear because the second time he feels like he's like, hello, are you in here?
He did get told off a bit though. So maybe he was like, all right, I'll step back for a second.
Why is he so mad about the underwear?
That's a little weird, but I think it's just like, he then is like, he plans to rape her. That's what he's going to do. Right.
I have two questions about this as the whole thing. The whole sequence. One, sure. I noticed her character's kind of monotone throughout the. So she's kind of like a. Her character's kind of like a X-Files lady.
Yes.
Oh yes. Yeah. Scully. She's a little bit like.
She's like a Scully. Besides, like more chill. Like she's taking drugs. She's like nothing gets to me really. So I'm like really I don't care whatever. I've just seen crazy shit. This is season two, and then this plumber. If he's done this a long time, does he work for this company, this management place, or?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, he said the landlord gave him the key, but it's unclear if it's like he's worked with this landlord before, or if it's just like some independent contractor that was hired. I don't know.
Maybe.
But like, no one should just walk into an apartment like that.
Yeah, but she was very chill about it though.
And she says that he should die.
Well, so you think that was wrong of her?
I mean, no, cause how I she don't. Said it. I jerks like that should die is like a sentence I've never heard someone say before.
Sure, but I mean, people say that they don't mean it literally, though.
No, you know? You of course would say that, you know, like drop dead or whatever. But like
exactly, and you don't mean it
drop
literally.
Dead. Like jerks like that should die after he walks out of the room, and not to anyone in particular. Like if there was like a. If she was with another woman and some guy came up and he was being a creep and she was like, buzz off. And then he walked away and she's like, jerks like that should die. Like, you know, like, then you're like, okay, yeah. But she's by herself and she just goes like, jerks like that should die.
It is kind of funny to say that to yourself.
Yeah.
She should have said, jerks like that should be thrown around a room repeatedly until they get like clawed to death or something.
I know. And the demon, the whole, I feel like demons could be more efficient in their killing.
Oh.
Because it does seem like he's almost like in a fight with a human. Like it's that's a lot a good of point. Like throwing him against the wall, throwing him through stuff, and he's you know, it takes a long time for him to die, but it's not torture.
No, I know what it is. Demons are kind of like cats when they find like a grasshopper or something, and then they're play like, oh, I'm going to play around with this for a while before I kill it. Yeah.
Give you time to escape.
I love cats. I have two. They're wonderful, but it's when I that's so fucked up to me. It's just like, oh, I'm gonna play around this thing for a long time before I kill it.
Yeah,
like damn, you guys are brutal.
So Teague is working on his rose bushes, and Mitch tells him about the detective, and Teague explains that he didn't commit these murders. That actually they're living in a time of evil, and it's the time of the demons.
It's just such a weird conversation to me. I'm like, it's fucking crazy. Basically, Mitch already knows, well, he doesn't know everything about Teague, but he knows he's a guy that's invested in the supernatural. This case has nothing to do with all the other crazy shit we've all seen so far. Think about all the monsters they fought. So for him to like go up to this guy that's like his friend or associate and be like, hey, you the serial killer? It's like, what the fuck, dude? Where is this coming from, Mitch? It makes no sense to me. It's such a weird conversation. They should have cut the detective asking him about it and should have cut this conversation out too. Or, you know, just changed it, I guess.
It's funny that like if you know, there were a bunch of serial killers and I came up to you and I was like, Zach, are you the serial killer? And you said, no, I'm not. And I was like, good enough for me. Moving on.
It's so weird.
Now this question should be asked like probably season 1, episode 2. Like that makes more sense. Like you try to these cases, you're trying to kill me. Like, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So Simonton.
Oh yeah, he's a new character.
Surprise you to know that in season one there were no monsters or aliens or anything like that. Like literally that for 20 it was yeah. for the entire season. It's just like a cop show, and then
yeah,
they're
them solving crimes basically.
And then this season, starting with episode one, we got monsters. So we've only had yeah. 5 episodes of monsters.
It's a brand new world. It's fun though, I must say.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. They did like a low budget X-Files with no explanation.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what they did. Yeah. Then Mitch is like, "Yeah, Ryan found she found some fucking book. It's called The Grimoire." And Teague's like, "The Grimoire?"
Yeah, he knows about it.
What is it? Full of ghosts and goblins? Mitch's sarcasm is wearing on me so I know. Much.
Because
show. He jokes about freaking everything.
Yes, it's annoying no matter what, but when you know that this man has seen a sea monster, an amoeba from the center of the earth that consumes everything, a frog woman that is half cat.
I love that.
And what was it last week? And ghost of some sort. No, aliens. Is that what it was? Aliens. And yeah. he's still like this? It's like, Mitch, fuck off, dude.
Yeah, dude. I mean, at the end, like, you're not going to get your security deposit back. It's like,
yeah.
You can't.
It's like, this shit's real. Yeah, let's not joke around about it.
Get a cup of coffee right now.
Oh, that scene was insane to me.
Body in your apartment.
It was insane. I laughed so hard.
Did I miss something? Is she a coffee fan? Because I was like wondering what is
wrong. She's a big coffee.
The last two episodes have had a lot of coffee in them, but in this one, it's like this diner's new.
Yeah, we've never seen this diner before. But Mitch, this even comes from the regular series Baywatch. Huge coffee fan. He's like the kind of person that like someone comes over to his house at night and is like, "Mitch, I got this serious problem going on." He's like, "I'm going to put on a pot of coffee." Coffee is always like the thing that will help out.
Yeah.
So, definitely.
I agree. I agree.
Kind of like Zach. Zach's a big coffee guy.
I'm a big coffee fan.
Yeah.
You're a coffee man?
I am. Yeah. I got some coffee right here. Yeah. Yeah. I generally don't drink just later in the day. This is decaffeinated. So.
Oh, so you like the taste of it. You're a purist.
I love the taste of it. Yeah.
So then Ryan sees Kitty, a new
Katie
downstairs neighbor.
Katie, annoying neighbor.
Sorry, yes. This is Cindy Margolis.
Right.
Yes.
I remember that name, and then I looked up and it's she had like the title of most downloaded woman of
most
on
downloaded
the internet or
woman
something like
on
that.
The internet.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably not true, but maybe it is. I don't know.
At the time, I'm sure
maybe,
it was like
that's
you know,
true.
Five downloads was the
Charlie.
not
probably right,
but her,
it sounded
but
like
I'm
the
like,
biggest slam I know, yeah.
But I,
no, you're right.
I mean, people aren't downloading women anymore. So
that's true. It's not even like relevant anymore.
Yeah.
Good point. By the way, when I saw her, I was like, "Who is this character that quite clearly killed CJ from Baywatch and stole her look? Is this Pam Anderson's look on Baywatch?"
And she's that type of person who's like, "Hey Ryan, how you doing? Did you have a great day yesterday? Did you have a great night? Oh, it's really great outside. Wait till you see it. It's going to be really nice. You're not going to believe it. How you doing? Are you doing great? All right, bye."
So annoying.
Really annoying. But we had to introduce her so that later she could very nonchalantly explain that the blood is coming down the walls.
She's so annoying though. She treats Ryan as if she's the landlord. She's like, "Well, I can't get a hold of the landlord or whatever." And so
Ryan,
she's just like, "I'm gonna pass it on to you." And it's like, "What are you doing? Stop it."
When Ryan walks in and touches it and goes like, "This is plasma," I'm like,
"Oh yeah,
fuck off."
She always no, but this is every episode. She picks up some evidence and is like, "This is such and such." She always knows what it is in
plasma,
in that moment.
It's plasma.
It's plasma.
And I'm like, why wouldn't it just be blood?
It's plasma.
Why would the demon put plasma on the wall?
No, Charlie's plasma.
Ghostbusters. That's why.
Yeah.
He went to the blood bank and they're like, "We're really low on blood right now, but we have all this plasma sitting around. So you can take that." And the demon's like, "It'll have to do. It's kind of blood." So then Mitch pulls up and asks if she's like, "You want a cup of coffee, Cookie?" And Mitch's little nickname. And they head to Brennan's, the new diner.
Yeah.
She asks. After she blew, she's like, "After I blew out the candles, my mind wouldn't stop playing tricks on me. And then when I wake up, there's a guy at the foot of my bed." And Mitch doesn't go like, "Wait a minute, there's a fucking guy in your house?"
I know, right? <That's true. laughs> Yeah, sorry, what? Yeah.
And then immediately, Gus, is that his name?
Oh, Jed. Yeah, this is the waiter at the restaurant.
Jed is like, he's like, hey, Ryan, hey, you want to spend the weekend with me?
his first line is, so what's it going to be? Besides me, of course. It's like, oh my God, jeez.
And Mitch is sitting right there. Know, how like, uncomfortable is that?
So, yeah.
Like being like, oh, dude, that's your line?
Yeah.
And so she tells him to get fried. And so he fries his hand in the fryer.
Yeah.
And then Hayden goes, hey, what you have to do with the, this is Hayden, the new Merv Hayden.
The new detective.
Yeah, Merv Hayden. And he's like, hey, what'd she have to do with the accident? And she's like, nothing. She was just sitting there. And he's like, hey, I see the look on her face. She looks pretty guilty to me. I was like, it looks like she just saw a man fry himself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what it seems like. It's like no one would think anyone did this to them, to this guy. It's just, it's an accident that would happen. But I almost forgot. He, right before he says that to Mitch, he's like, I was listening in on the police radio and I heard this. Someone called in about it. And I was like, I gotta go check that out. That's interesting. It's like, what?
Not solving crimes, not fighting.
Nope.
No, he's like, hey, you guys can take that robbery in progress.
Yeah, I know
like,
there's a robbery in progress, but I gotta go check this out. This is interesting. Fried his hand. Really Someone's got to be involved. Got to check
Crazy.
It out.
Crazy. So then Ryan does. She's like, it is my fault. I caused it, and I made him do it.
Oh, by the way, there's also when the guy comes out. I forgot. This is so funny to me. The paramedics are like gonna put him in the paramedic vehicle, and then he's the guy says to first Mitch is like, don't worry, it's not going to scar up that bad, is what he says to Jed. And then the paramedic says, thanks to your quick action with the ice, it's a Mitch. And then Mitch is like, that's due to all that expensive training I had. I was like, what the fuck? That's the most basic of things anyone would be like, put ice on it or run it under cold water.
You know, as they're driving back, they're like, can you believe that guy just thought to put ice on it?
That's amazing. Genius. I can't believe, he's a genius.
That confused me because I thought when you burn your hand, you're not supposed to put ice on it because it'll like tear the tissue and stuff. So like wrap it.
That's maybe, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Is that okay?
Well, this was, I don't know. 1996. So
yeah, maybe back then it was
a little differently back then. So yeah, it's probably not the standard practice now, but at the time, for TV, it would be like, yeah, put it in ice.
You know, that's a good point, Simpson, because this is like a serious, serious burn, right? But right. I feel like on Baywatch, we've seen him put ice on someone that gets like burned or something like that, like a sunburn or something like that. So right. Maybe
there's also no way it's not going to scar up that bad. Like it will disfigure him.
Because it sounds like he got burned pretty bad.
If it's a third-degree burn, ice is not no matter gonna... what, like you're like down to the lower dermis, you know, like you're.
Is he down to his last dermis?
He's down to his last dermis, and you run out of dermises.
No, yeah. Shit, yeah.
Oh, so oh my that God. Training, see, that 1990s yeah. Baywatch training.
Yeah.
What type of training? Do you think he also got police training as well?
You would think so, but no, he never has had police training. But he did used to have a best friend, Garner, who's no longer on the show.
Who was a cop.
Who was a cop, and he was a former Navy SEAL. So he does have some background in that sense, but otherwise he's a lifeguard that kind of like just a moonlight as either a detective or solving supernatural crimes.
Yeah.
The 90s
so then,
is crazy.
I know.
Yeah, true. That's true.
So then the plumber guy comes back, he opens the door, comes in, hears a weird noise. He sees the candles and the wine and he's just like, why? He's so like, no, I guess maybe he is just a perv because he's just
he definitely is
about how she lives.
Yeah, yeah. This is absolutely someone that doesn't respect people's boundaries or anything. I mean, you see that in the earlier scene. She's like, what are you doing in here? And he like moves in closer and is like,
yeah,
he's trying to have sex with her in that moment, without a doubt. But then she's like, get the fuck out of here. Or I forget what she says, but like, get out.
Okay.
Go in the hallway.
I mean,
he is a creep. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they could have written him just slightly clearer, like almost like the guy from the episode with the girl, like in the bar where you're like, oh yeah, 100%. Cause in this, I'm like, he is a plumber and he is going to try to fix that leak.
Yeah,
I thought he would start going through drawers and stuff. Cause once he found the underwear, I thought he was going to be like, ooh, nice underwear. But instead he makes him really mad.
Yes. Cause it's like,
you cover up some nakedness.
It reminds him of like wanting to have sex with her or something. And then he like flips out her. It is. You are 100% right, Charlie. I'm maybe giving it more credit than it deserves, but I'm like, watching it, that's my interpretation
there
of
had
him,
to be
all of his actions, basically.
Just cut around it.
Could be too.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's quite clear when he goes in the closet what he's waiting to do, though.
That's true.
But then our hero Demon steps in.
So yeah, so Mitch checks on Ryan. She says last night when she opened the book, she felt something. She felt a power, like absolute massive power, but it was also a feeling in her, like it was how she was supposed to feel. She knew it was the right knife. Everything felt right. The more she read, the more she could understand, like she'd read it before. She knew all about Kenneth and his crush. she wants to take the book and get rid of it and then wash the walls, everything.
Yeah.
And then Mitch says he's going to rent her out for next Halloween, but it works. She's like, Mitch, why is everything so funny to you? And he's like, do you feel better? And she's like, I do. And then she gives him a big hug.
No one would react that way. They'd be like, go fuck yourself. Do you not realize what I'm going through?
Not even funny.
Not funny. Yeah, it wasn't even actually funny. Yeah. It's like a really hacky joke, if you will. Yeah.
So then
what does that even mean? Rent you out for Halloween?
Rent you.
Okay.
Yeah. So then when the plumber is working on the sink, I did clock that he seems to be really bad at his job, like the way that he's handling this wrench, like he gets no torque on it. He's like just like
is that the actor or is it that the character?
Probably, but I also would have loved if it was he's a bad plumber because he spent so much time being a pervert.
I'll take that. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's not keeping up with his continuing education credits.
No.
So then Ryan gets back home and heads up to her apartment. Katie comes out and asks if her place is cold and the walls are leaking. And the landlord doesn't speak English.
Oh, so, I know. Another strike against Katie. She was like, she said, and the landlord, when you get him on the phone, English is not his first language. And I was like, well, but it sounds like he speaks English.
Fuck you, Katie. It sounds like English is his second language.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It. Yeah.
I know.
So then the walls are leaking plasma.
No, you know what it's actually leaking? It's that same stuff coming out of Rudy Giuliani's head.
The hair dye.
It actually looks like the same color and everything. It's just leaking down the walls.
Yeah. So then the plumber finds Ryan's bra, and he's like, you think you can shove Starkey out of here?
Which is a very funny line, by the way. And then referring to himself is just like, Starkey, you think you could shove Starkey out of here?
Because at first I was like, oh, this guy is possessed by the demon, and the demon is...
You would think.
Starkey.
That's why it's not clear. He seems like he's in a demonic rage all of a sudden.
Because isn't, like, the demon in The Exorcist, like, isn't it, like, Captain Howdy or something?
Is it a name?
Oh, you mean the actual demon?
There's a
mention. No, it's like Pazuzu.
There's Pazuzu, the demon, but there's something that she says where it's like... There's one part in the movie where she says that, like, they, like... thought they were summoning, like, I'm gonna look up
what it is. Okay, this is you're saying Linda Blair's character
Reagan
says this. Okay,
so Pazuzu named Captain Howdy during the early stages of demonic possession, so they thought it was Captain Howdy because when they were using the Ouija board or whatever, they thought they were calling Captain Howdy.
Okay, that was just like
Captain Howdy was Pazuzu.
So
it's, I thought when we were like,
I see
Starkey, I was like, oh, Starkey is like Captain Howdy, but no, it just seems like that's just
not Starkey. Is the idea in that, in The Exorcist, I mean, is that like people would know, oh no, Pazuzu, we're in trouble, and so he's hiding under the name Captain Howdy?
Or they think they're getting like a chocolate cookie with ice cream on top, and they're like, they get excited. They're like, I want a Pazuzu key.
by the way, speaking of The Exorcist, real quick tangent, did you guys know the scene where she has at the hospital, she's getting like an MRI done to see what's going on? One of the technicians in that scene was a guy that was an actual technician in real life that they used for that scene, and he killed someone, and they suspected he was potentially a serial killer in New York in the 1970s.
Yeah. Wow. They never caught him?
He's now dead, and he did spend time in prison, so he did get in trouble for the one murder that they were like certain was him, but they realized afterwards they were like, due to like a bunch of things, I don't remember off the top of my head, that he quite possibly was this like serial killer that they had never figured out who he is, and that crime in a sense is still, well, I mean, the guy's now dead anyways, but like they don't, you know, not fully solved, I guess, if you will, but they think it's him anyways. It's just a weird wild thing that happens to be true.
Yeah, so Starkey is not Captain Howdy. He's really mad and he's throwing things. And then I wrote that Katie is just way too chill for blood pouring down her wall.
Ryan,
well, Simonton said she's not a witch.
Try not to forget. But please don't forget that I've got blood coming down my walls. It's really annoying.
Well, it's annoying because the line before that, Ryan, is like, I'll look into this. I'll check this out for you. And then she starts going up the stairs. And then she goes, Ryan, please don't forget. I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, fuck you. I just said I won't. Yeah.
And she can't be the only one with blood coming down her walls.
Right. The rest of the tenants somewhere in this apartment complex must have blood coming down the walls too.
Right.
Yeah.
We've never seen her before.
Oh yeah, Katie, we've never met before.
Okay. Because yeah, it seems, I was thinking, I feel like everyone had a vibe of like, crazy things happen. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think prior to what you said earlier, Simon, I don't think Katie's a witch because she's not smart.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
She seems to be not smart, right? That's like basically what the character is.
Was she blonde? I hate to say that.
Not every character on Blade Watch that is a blonde woman is dumb, but.
And the other witch.
She was, I guess, was she? Yeah. I think Katie was, right?
Yeah.
Katie was.
No, it's blonde. Just like the character just seems like, I don't know. You're like, what's going on with this person?
So then.
Hey, don't yawn through this podcast. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm
just giving you shit.
Sorry, I need to be funnier. I'll do my best.
No, Simon, you're doing great. I'm not bored. I'm just
you're tired.
Yawning because I got a we got freaking Starkey stalking around this apartment. Once he hides in the closet, he gets attacked by an invisible force.
Yes.
It seems very eager to help him rather mm-hmm. than being like, are you in my fucking apartment?
She doesn't know what's going on, but I get what you're saying. She's like trying to open the door. She's like, what's going on? She just hears someone screaming, but I don't know if she necessarily knows it's him.
Sorry, but I would still be trying to get in, but I'd be like, there shouldn't be a sound coming from my apartment.
Yeah. No, but if you hear these blood curdling screams, you'd be like, this isn't me. Everyone sees me out here right now. True. This isn't me.
I just want to say one thing about the guys. His stance before he closed the door was like very overly weird. We get that he's weird, but like the way he closes the doors was like very unnecessarily creepy, even extra creepy.
Was it kind of like that? I kind of remember. He's like,
it was like
like a villainous guy with the mustache. He's like, oh, and then he closes the.
But yeah. Our ghost, you know, the true hero of the show.
The true hero. I agree, Simonton. Charlie, do you agree? The true hero of this. Episode. This
is the demon.
Yes.
Is
at least in this moment.
Serenios. Okay. So, well, I do have a question. Okay. So, Starkey. Starkey's ultimate goal. Well, yes. Okay. In this moment, yes. But okay, what I'm trying to understand is from the writing perspective is if Starkey's ultimate goal is to attack Ryan and assault her, mm-hmm. why did he mess up her apartment first? Wouldn't he want her to not think anything was wrong in the apartment, but why did he start throwing stuff everywhere and then go hide in the closet?
I think it's this. This is like, he's basically the kind of shitty asshole guy that we said earlier. I think the idea, and maybe I'm giving too much credit again, is he sees that bra and it triggers him in a sense. And he's like, she rejected me. And he's this kind of guy. And he's like, fuck her. And so he's like, I'm going to fuck everything up. And then he goes to wait in the closet. I think that's what the idea is basically. He's just, I get what you're saying. Like, it's kind of weird, but it's like.
It's also not addressed later. So it could have been one of those things where it's like, we think that he might have been wanting to attack you because she is more just upset that the plumber that she said he should drop dead is dead.
Right. She's connected to herself.
There should be a thing where she's, because I think it would actually help her. Like if that guy came and he was like, actually, this demon is offering you protection and da da da. And then,
Malcolm said that to her. Yeah.
Yeah. To try to like lure her in and like make her more comfortable with it.
Yeah. Cause she also has no idea what his name was. I forgot. Not Jed, but this guy. What is his name?
Starkey.
The plumber, Starkey. Yeah, no idea what he's about to do either.
Yeah.
No one knows. Yeah.
And his brother.
He's killed before then.
Well, I guess, I mean, both of them are, Ringo's kids.
Hmm.
Ringo Starr's kids.
No, Starkey. Yeah. The real name of Ringo Starr.
Okay. We got Ringo Starr's real name. We got so much more to talk about. Okay. So he dies. She comes in and finds his hand covered in blood. He's dead.
Yeah.
And the police are investigating, and then he's like, Mitch. I had to tell you, two in one day, it's a little crazy. Mitch is like, let me talk to her for a little bit. He's like, I can give you a little time. Like.
But yeah, that's all I can give you. I was like, why? Why can't I just talk to her? Because he's obviously not arresting or anything like that. It's just like, okay. It's a weird line that doesn't match up with what the actions are.
So she thinks it's the grimoire. She believes that that's it. And she says, so they go to Malcolm and he says that everything was invited in. She opened the circle, the portal through which all entities must travel to enter the world. She has some sensitivity. And she says that the portal's still open. So a lot more things are still coming through that portal. Mm-hmm. And then her circle was unbroken, but the blonde woman's circle was broken. But we don't know
just
how
some it was just like a little bit of candles around a tree, I guess. It's not powerful enough of a circle. That's, I guess. I don't know. This is all new to me.
You need that. You need
those apartment
Venice
walls.
Apartment construction, yeah. Baby.
Yeah. You need some drywall, really nicely structured, constructed.
So we got Serenios, the right hand of the devil. And any entity can cross through the portal. So she has to close her circle, but she needs to face it alone. And it turns out that this is a lie, right? She doesn't need to face it alone because Malcolm is
trying
to get her
alone,
right? Well, and also once Mitch comes in, it doesn't seem to matter.
It doesn't seem to matter. No, it's definitely a lie. I did like it, though, because this is the first time we've ever seen Mitch told, like, no, you can't come have fun with us. You got to stay behind.
So Mitch takes Ryan home. He has to wait outside while she and Malcolm go in. She is the one who commanded and controls them, so only she can complete the ritual and close the circle. And then they won't harm her directly unless the circle breaks, I guess.
It's funny. So, by the way, of course, we find out more to Malcolm's character with all of this. But at first I was like, is this guy this much of an expert on every book that he has in his store?
I know.
He might be right.
It's your book. It's like being a pizza owner and knowing about your pizzas.
Knowing how the pizzas are made, yeah.
It's also funny to collect grimoires, but then, like, if he turned out to be a good guy, which he did not, if he was like, I'm going to collect these, but I'm just constantly having to get people to get rid of their demons, you know? Like,
I know, yeah.
That's good business money. You can make
extra. Yeah.
So Ryan is inside and afraid. Malcolm says they're here already. Everything must be exactly as it was. And she has to mark the circle. There's also a point where she's like, where's the yellow candle? I can't tell the yellow. What's the yellow candle?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And then he's like, it's right there. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, which was weird. It almost felt like that was just the actor. It was like, wait, where's the yellow one? It's just right there. Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, it's right there. So then she reads the incantation and fire starts shooting out of the candles.
Once again, those candles. Amazing work.
She has to keep going. Everything starts shaking, and she says her insides are falling apart. Does that mean she's about to shit herself?
That's how I took it, too.
She's got
diarrhea.
That's
what it sounds like. Yeah.
And then Ryan's mom appears in a coffin.
Yes. It's almost, I think it's at the doorway. The coffin's in or something like that, and the coffin's standing up, and so she...
Standing up, and it opens, and her eyes open, and she says, Ryan, don't do this to us, Ryan. And her father is there, and she's like, but they're dead. And Malcolm says, concentrate, they're liars.
Yeah. By the way, she called her dad Daddy, and I was like, Daddy McBride. Because Ryan's last name is McBride.
Yeah. So, wait, okay. So, again, why did Malcolm tell her that the demons lie?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't he just
be like, go along with what they say? Listen to them. They're good.
Because
they'll help you.
He shouldn't want her to read the incantation, right?
None of that is completely clear, I would say, but...
Because once she finishes everything goes away.
Yeah, I think they basically want...
the one line where she's like, demons, demons, no more demons, please. And then it's like, as long as
she
you
figures out to say
one.
The right thing. So I think he's tricking her into saying the wrong one, right? Is that the idea? And then it's like... And then she's going to actually summon more demons. But why is he saying, like, don't, they're lying.
So then when her parents showed up, they actually
were the good
truth.
Maybe they were good demons then. You're right.
So, yeah, because remember she said, the demon said, I'm trying to help you.
And that demon might have been.
The demon has been helping her, technically.
Yes. Killed the guy, the plumber.
I honestly don't think the demon was a bad entity.
So
unless you have a good house.
Yeah. I think they want that reveal, right? Oh, Malcolm's bad. But the way it plays initially is almost like, oh, did he just get possessed by the demon? You know, that happens in movies sometimes. Oh, no, the demon took over someone. And now they're acting with it through this guy's body or something like that.
Oh,
because his action seems like he is on her side initially, but then and all this stuff doesn't really make sense up to that point. If he's always evil the whole time, but then Mitch clears it up at the end in a sense and says he's evil.
I got it. So here's what happened. So remember, she was supposed to go in there alone.
Yes.
So because she didn't go in there alone, the demon attached itself to the guy.
Right.
And then as she was doing these trials, angels came down to try to help her.
I believe that.
Okay, that's what they were trying to go for, but they never said it.
So they this guy was good up until this moment.
Yeah, maybe. And then Mitch
kind
is
kind of
just
like Father Karras, where he has to jump out the window because Pazuzu goes
the demon
to him,
yeah. And it's possible Mitch at the end when he says that, oh, Malcolm was in it the whole time, he's just covering his own ass. He's like, Mitch, did you just kill this guy? Yeah, yeah. No, he was always the bad guy. He was evil.
Yeah. Because if it's much more tragic, and then you don't just go get a cup of coffee.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because then this guy is like, his whole life led up to this moment, and he was just trying to help, and he got killed.
Poor Malcolm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That actually, as crazy as that is, that almost sounds more believable to me based on everything we know. I know that's not what they want us to think, but I'm like, maybe he did just get possessed by a demon.
They don't really operate in the nuanced stuff. So normally they would tell us, they'd be like, there are angels here. And those angels.
Yeah. I mean,
explain that to us, right? You know, like.
Yeah. This demon or whatever, or angel that comes, I think it was.
Then the blonde woman shows up again and she wants Ryan. She's like, Ryan, oh, your friend.
Wait, is that from the woman from
the first? Dies in the beginning.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say she's credited as young woman, which I was like, that's a weird, but now I guess it's still kind of.
She died at the beginning. Yeah.
I see. Okay. I didn't catch that.
Like, and then, she promises she'll give Ryan everything, and then she's like, you lie, and the woman yells, damn you, and then the windows explode.
Yes.
Stuff starts flying everywhere in the apartment.
We see a Picasso painting spinning around.
she's got an original Picasso.
She's got an original, yeah.
So then Malcolm is a demon, and she will join them and be one of them. Then Mitch gets thrown against the wall, and he says, now nothing will close the circle. Then the book flies out of her hands. Mitch has to get the book. Demon guy attacks Mitch. And does Mitch stab him with a lamp? Is that how?
That's what I think. So it's hard to tell. But I think it's like, yes, basically a lamp. Maybe the shade is gone if there was a shade. He stabs him from the light end. So not only does he stab him in like the chest or wherever it is, but it also electrocutes him too.
Conduit.
That starts electrocuting him and kills him. Brutal.
Wow. So then she recants the calling. And all the demons leave. It's over.
Yeah, they're like, we respect that.
Okay. Yeah, we
said the magic words.
We're gone. So they close it, and then Mitch says, you want to get a cup of coffee? And he says, I have an idea. Next time you want to close a circle, call me first, please.
Yeah. And then he also jokes, I don't think you're going to get your security deposit back.
Yes.
And I was like, this might be the craziest thing in this entire episode, is that everything that just happened there, and then there's a dead man in her apartment, and they're gonna go leave to get some coffee.
Yeah,
like it ain't no big deal. That's wild, right?
And then we get this final scene where we have the body being taken out of the apartment, mm-hmm. and Mitch watches. Then T comes up and says, "You drove Serenios back into the world."
Here. No, Mitch takes credit now. He tells Teague, "I got rid of him," and then he says, "I drove him back to the world where he's." Well,
oh,
for all of eternity.
That. Okay, so
he takes credit.
Yeah. Teague says, like, basically, it's a stalemate in the war of good versus evil.
Yeah, this
it's a tie, and then Mitch's
this
is a final
macro
line
war
is,
that's going on. Yeah,
I don't play for ties,
and then that's it.
Yeah,
end of episode.
Yeah. So this is gonna be the whole season. Is this ongoing war between humans and supernatural beings?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
and Mitch is gonna win.
It's a good setup, maybe for the future stuff. Like, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah. This creature came back. It's like, hey, demon number two came back.
Yeah, they won't do shit with it.
No more Serenios?
We'll never see Serenios again. I wish. That would be awesome if we had a whole, like, God and the Devil arc. And Mitch is in the middle. Like,
yeah, I would
days.
Love that so much.
Him saying smart-ass sarcastic things like, oh, yeah. This is the pool? We'll get ready to be polled.
Real quick, before we wrap this up... I already mentioned with this cup of coffee thing, but truly, what was the conversation when they finally did call the police and whatnot? And they were like, so what's going on here? The apartment's a mess and there's this man killed. And then they say what happened. And then they say they went and got coffee too.
Right.
Like, yeah. There's none of that.
I'm
like,
sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So walk me through. So yeah. This and you guys went and got coffee. A cup of coffee.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause like mm-hmm. He was already like, he's dead.
He's Serenios. You guys are familiar with him, right?
And you've heard of Serenios, right?
Right hand man of the devil.
He's the right hand man. And Malcolm, the bookstore guy.
He's weird, right? You've seen him before, right? Yeah. He's a weird guy.
Well, he has a book called The Grimoire.
Not the new copies. Yeah. The old ones.
Turns out he was working for the devil too.
Yeah.
So. What's going to happen to his store, though?
I know.
Oh, I know, right? So many customers. They're like,
hey, where's Malcolm? And they're like, Malcolm, he was the devil.
Yeah.
Or close to him. Okay. So that was season 2, episode 5, Circle of Fear. Mm-hmm. Now we have some awards that we give out every episode. Simonton, you get to give out an award too. The first one is our Hofsker Award. This is our best actor of the episode.
Wow. I will give it to the demon.
Serenios?
Yeah, Serenios.
In which form? Voice?
The voice or Malcolm? Within
Malcolm or I would just say in
the,
general?
The flashbacks. I think the flashbacks had me.
Wait, which part was that?
When she was having the flashbacks, I think that wasn't that like him in a forum talking?
Oh, like in the forest talking kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Got it.
Cool. I like that. I'm kind of torn. I did like Malcolm. I enjoyed him. I thought he was a good character. But I also kind of want to give it to, I'll give it to Ty. Malcolm and Ryan. Ryan, this was like a Ryan episode, and I appreciated that. So.
Yeah, I thought Ryan was great in this episode.
Yeah.
So now we go to our Jilzy, which is our worst actor of the episode.
Is that yours too?
Yeah.
Ryan? Ryan. Yeah. Okay.
Worst actor of the episode is Katie.
I agree, Katie.
Sorry, Katie.
Yeah.
You did nothing. And
I mean, what about the guy?
You know what? You have other accolades in your life to be proud of.
That's true. Most downloaded.
Yeah, most downloaded on the internet. Women on the internet.
Oh, what were you going to say, Simonton?
I was going to be Katie or the ambulance guy.
The one that says, wow, that's amazing that you thought to put ice on this. That guy? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's for me.
That's good.
Cool. And then we have best baddie. So it could be Serenios. It could be Malcolm.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be...
Or it could be Starkey.
Starkey or Jed, or even a little bit.
Jed.
Yeah.
I am going to say Starkey.
Okay.
Because I feel like the implications of his thing are the darkest because...
Oh, yeah.
This was a real world monster. This is not the devil. This is a monster in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And even the devil recognized that guy's got to go. Yeah.
Whoa. I'm Serenios, right-hand man of the devil, but nope. I agree.
And I don't care how good he is at plumbing.
Which he's not, as we've already seen. Yeah, we saw. He's not very good at it. That's a very good point. I'm going to actually go with Malcolm, I think. I did like the idea, even if it didn't all match up, and it's just, you only find out for sure just because Mitch says it at the end, but this idea that he was kind of like playing them this whole time, and he's just like, he's just a bookstore owner, and he's like, oh yeah, it's this book, and it's helping you, and then it turns out he's Serenios himself, or helping out Serenios, maybe Serenios' right-hand man of the devil, potentially, but yeah, I like them.
Familiar.
Yes.
I would, same. I think at the end when he like did a triple a portrayal, I didn't see that happening. Mm-hmm. Also, I thought when they introduced the character, I thought it was going to be a woman who owned the bookstore. He was going to like give her a spiritual guidance of like being a witch, but like it took, this took me off a little bit.
Yeah
I guess. Got it. Men are bad.
Yeah, definitely this episode hammers home that point.
Maybe.
And finally, we rate the episode on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs, 1 being the worst, 6 being the best. I think I am going to give this episode a 5.
Wow.
Okay, fucking blow my mind. I thought Charlie, based especially on what you said at the beginning of this episode, I was like, I think Charlie didn't like this episode as much, and you're going to give it like a 3 or something like that.
No.
But the number I was going to give it was 5, I swear to you.
I did really enjoy this episode.
I really enjoyed it too.
I was very confused. And me being confused is not bad if the stuff that I'm seeing is cool, right? So it's like,
yeah.
I have my questions, and I think a lot of it could be smoothed out in the writing, but I did like what I saw, and I felt like it was a better episode than the last episode.
I agree. I felt like this was the second best episode I've seen of Baywatch Nights season 2 so far. Yeah. And I found it very enjoyable all around. A lot to like. And it, a little confusing, but a lot of these episodes are, and that's okay, I guess. Yes, Edmonton, what do you think?
I've seen 3 of these night Baywatches.
Yes.
And I have to give it a 3 because the first one I saw was the fish lady, and I was like, this is a 5-6. This is
This is episode 2 you're talking about, right?
Yeah, we got like a 6.5, I think.
Yeah, love that one.
That was a good episode. And then I saw the episode with the algae, I think, like the blob creature taking over.
The amoeba blob thing actually was a pretty fun episode, I must say.
Girl was so annoying.
She's
like screaming
Sandra or whatever.
I was gonna talk about that. Anyway, and that to me was like a 2, maybe a 1. And this episode was in the middle, so it's like a 3.5 maybe.
Okay.
3.5. Okay.
Because there was no special effects for like sci-fi fantasy or whatever. It's like they're trying to save money, but not really save money. But I do like the fact that they did focus on this one character.
Yeah.
She's like monotone throughout the whole her whole thing.
That's kind of how that character always is, I guess. That's a good point. Yeah. But you are right. Also, they didn't spend as much money on this one. It did feel like the biggest part of the budget was the candles, and they really cool what they did with that. But yeah, there's not much else going around. We didn't see Serenios. Like they called them the horned one. It's like I would have liked to see Serenios.
Yeah, somehow,
But I like that. By the way, because since Simonton mentioned it, Simonton is the hardest get we've ever had on this podcast. Wow, we've been trying to get you on this podcast for months. Now, part of that was due to the strike. We were going to have you on before, and then the strike happened. And then we've just had scheduling issues. But
I'm glad we finally made it out.
You're finally here.
I'm sorry. And then even now, all this stuff was happening through the sound and everything.
No. Yeah, no worries. It happens.
Yeah, we got through it. We're all good.
No, we're happy you're here.
I want to say thank you. And I have 2 questions.
Please go right ahead.
It's going to be real quick questions. So you started at season 1 and then start watching season 2. And you're like, this is a different show. This is no way in hell the same show. What made you decide to watch Baywatch Night?
Just because we were watching Baywatch anyways.
We're watching all of Baywatch from
no matter
start
what
to finish.
It is. Yeah, so just everything.
6 seasons of regular Baywatch. And then because season 1 and 2 of Baywatch Nights were happening concurrently with seasons 5 and 6 of Baywatch, we just decided to do these now. Yeah.
Yeah, we're just doing them now instead of waiting until we're done with all of Baywatch. But we also were aware ahead of time that Baywatch Nights season 2 becomes Supernatural. We had heard that.
Yeah. We were really excited for it.
We were. And so far it's been pretty fun.
Are y'all Supernatural fans?
Are
you like dabble?
Yeah, dabble, as Ryan said earlier when
we just like the shit goes crazy, you know?
Yeah. I not necessarily. I didn't actually watch X-Files regularly or anything like
that.
Yeah, I guess I'm okay with some of it, yeah, but not like overly into it, I guess. Yeah. What about yourself? You said yourself you watch Sabrina and some other shows, I think, right?
Yes, I do. I do like the genre of like sci-fi mystery. I do like young adult sci-fi mystery stuff. So the last show I watched was like Teen School Spirits, about this girl who died in her school and she stuck there or whatever.
Oh, okay. I heard about that. Netflix, I did not see it, but I have heard about it, yeah.
So this type of genre is like my favorite thing to watch.
Oh, nice. I'm glad we had you on for Baywatch Nights then. That's or season 2 specifically.
Yes.
That's perfect. Yeah.
No, none of that day stuff. Okay. I'm a nightmare.
Yeah. The regular show. Well, they do weird stuff on there too, actually, but it always takes place at the beach. So there's usually not monsters or anything, maybe a few episodes, but it's a very different show otherwise.
But the Monsters Within, I get that.
Wait, is that the takeaway from almost every one of these shows? The real monster is within.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Simon, thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
You. Things I'm plugging is in the future. So there's three things kind of. I'm on a house team at the Pack Theater. If you come by, it's 7 o'clock every first and third Sundays. I do an indie show at the Clubhouse in LA called Work Friends, 8 o'clock every third Tuesday. And in the future, March maybe, I will be dropping hopefully a new web series called Video Jockeys, and we just interview people doing who have videos and music and stuff.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
Some good plugs.
Yes. Wow. So I think we have an IG up for Video Jockeys as well. So keep that in mind when y'all watch this.
Do you want to put any social media? So we'll tag you too, though, but.
Yeah, it's the underscore great underscore Simonton, S-I-M-O-N-T-O-N. Yes, there's a great in it, but not just Simonton. So what's it called? A
callback.
This show needs more callbacks. I think maybe one more or better callbacks.
Sorry, you mean Baywatch or Baywatch Watch, the podcast you're on?
Oh, not Baywatch Watch, the podcast.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yes, they do need more callbacks.
Thanks again for being here.
Yeah, Simon. Thank you, Simonton.
Really
so much fun.
Appreciate it. And Zach and I will be back in early 2024.
Yes. Taking next week off for the holidays. Everyone have a great holiday season.
Have a great holiday. Thanks for a great year. And we will be back in 2024 with an all new episode of Baywatch Watch Nights. And until then,
Stay wet at night.
When the waves are crashing.
Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet.